The Japanese and American artillery fire to our left front rumbled and roared on and on with frightening intensity, drowning out the rattle of machine guns and rifles. To our right, elements of the 1st Marine Regiment kept up their small arms and mortar fire out to sea for quite some time. We heard scattered rifle fire far to our rear. This was disturbing, but some optimists said it was probably nothing more than trigger-happy rear echelon guys firing at shadows. Rumors passed that some enemy soldiers had broken through the Army's line on our left. It was a long night, made worse by the uncertainty and confusion around us. I suffered extremely mixed emotions, glad on the one hand to be out of the fighting, but anxious for those Americans catching the fury of the enemy's attack. At first light, we heard Japanese planes attacking our ships and saw the fleet throwing up anti-aircraft fire. Despite the aerial attack, the ship's big guns began heavy firing against the Japanese on land. Toward our right and rear, the firing of our infantry units slackened. We learned that radio messages indicated the 1st Marines had slaughtered hundreds of Japanese in the water when they tried a landing behind our division's flank. The sound of scattered firing told us some enemy had slipped ashore, but the major threat was over. Our artillery increased its support fire to our front, and we were told that our division would attack during the day. We would remain in position, however, an order we found most agreeable. Word came that the Army troops on our left had held off the main Japanese attack, but things were still grim in that area. Some enemy had gotten through, and others were still attacking. While 3-5 remained in reserve, the 1st Marine Division began its attack to our front, and we heard that the opposition was ferocious. We received orders to be on the lookout for any enemy that might have slipped around the division's flank during the night. There were none. There was a massive enemy air attack against our fleet at this time. We saw a kamikaze fly through a thick curtain of flak and crash dive into a cruiser. A huge white smoke ring rose thousands of feet into the air. We heard shortly that it was the cruiser USS Birmingham that had suffered considerable damage and loss of life among her crew. The Japanese counterattack of 3 to 4 May was a major effort aimed at confusing the American battle plan by isolating and destroying the 1st Marine Division. The Japanese made a night amphibious landing of several hundred men on the east coast behind the 7th Infantry Division. Coordinated with that landing was another on the west coast behind the 1st Marine Division. The Japanese plan called for the two elements to move inland, join up, and create confusion to the rear, while the main counterattack hit the American center. The Japanese 24th Infantry Division concentrated its frontal attack on the boundary between the American Army's 7th and 77th Infantry Divisions. The enemy planned to send a separate brigade through the gap in the American lines created by the 24th Division's attack, swing it to the left behind the 1st Marine Division, and hit the Marines as the Japanese 62nd Infantry Division attacked the 1st Marine Division's front. If the plan succeeded, the enemy would isolate and destroy the 1st Marine Division. It failed when the two American Army divisions stopped the frontal assault, except for a few minor penetrations, with more than 6,000 Japanese dead counted. At the same time, the 1st Marines on the right of the 1st Marine Division discovered the enemy landing on the west coast. They killed over 300 enemy in the water and on the beach.